My guest today is Lorraine Avery. She's a consultant nurse in diabetes at St. Richard's Hospital in Chichester, and she joins us from our studio in Southampton. Lorraine, I've already mentioned that there are two types of diabetes. What's the difference?
Diabetes is a condition where the pancreas doesn't produce, either in type 1 diabetes, doesn't produce any insulin, or in type 2 diabetes, where it just doesn't produce enough.
And of course, insulin is the hormone that controls sugar levels. So presumably the net result is much the same. If you don't produce enough insulin, or you don't produce any insulin at all, your sugar levels climb. Why is that a worry?
Well, very often when I talk to patients about the problem with high blood sugar levels is that I ask them to imagine that their circulation is actually running like syrup. And obviously, if you have a syrupy circulation, it can affect all of your blood vessels and lead to long-term complications of diabetes.
What about the short term? How might people know that they've got a problem?
Well, very classically, diabetes presents with symptoms. People can feel very tired, very thirsty. They might pass lots of urine. Unfortunately, some patients actually don't have any symptoms whatsoever. And that's because particularly type 2 diabetes can present very slowly. And as the blood sugar levels climb very slowly, then these symptoms may not be evident. And that's why we end up with a number of people who don't actually know that they've got it.
And how do we diagnose it? If someone comes to you, comes to me, a GP, and says, you know, I think I might have diabetes, what's the definitive way to diagnose the condition?
Well, diabetes is actually very simply diagnosed with a blood test. I always remind patients that normal blood sugar levels are between 3.5 and 7.5. And we can do one of two blood tests. We can either ask the patient to present to the surgery having not eaten, and a fasting blood sugar level, we call that. Mm-hmm. And that really shouldn't be any higher than 7. Or if they have eaten and we decide to do the blood test opportunistically, then we wouldn't expect that to be any higher than 11.
And how high can sugar levels go in a bad case of diabetes?
Well, gosh, in my experience, I've known somebody who presented with a blood sugar level of 78, and they were clearly very unwell. But I suppose the average presentation, if there was such a thing, would be somewhere late teens, early 20s, particularly in type 2 diabetes.
Well, Claire Mehmet was 46 when she spotted a Diabetes UK poster listing some of those familiar-sounding symptoms.
I saw a poster in the station, and it said, are you always going to the toilet? Are you always thirsty? And is your eyesight changing? And I said to my friend, that's you. She said, no, it's you. I went to be tested and it was me.
And these symptoms have been going on for how long altogether now, looking back?
Looking back, about 10 years before I was diagnosed.
And how quickly did they resolve once you were put on treatment?
I can say that I felt much better within 3 months.
Claire Mehmet, who was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes back in 1994. Lorraine, that's not an unusual story. You were saying that there's an awful lot of people out there who've got the condition who don't know that they've got it. Why is that a problem?
Well, I think very often the pancreas stops producing insulin on a very slow basis, so the sugar level climbs very slowly, and therefore the body just takes this extra bit of glucose on board, and the blood sugar levels can get to very high levels and start doing the damage. So sometimes when people first present with diabetes, we can already see signs that the diabetes has been doing damage to their blood vessels.
So they might not have, the symptoms might not be that severe, but they're putting themselves at risk of long-term damage. And what sort of things are we worried about in the long term? What are the main problems?
Heart attacks, strokes, damage to the eyes, damage to the kidneys. And the outlook for both types of diabetes can be equally frightening. But the main worry with type 2 diabetes is that a number of people possibly ignore those very early symptoms or really don't get them so severe that would worry them enough to go to the doctor. And I think the other thing is that people don't always go, because I think people are worried about going to the doctor saying, oh, I feel a bit tired, I feel a bit thirsty, you know, particularly if it's been summer and the symptoms could easily be attributed to something else.
What's causing the diabetes and who's most at risk?
Well, I think the largest causative factor of type 2 diabetes is the rising obesity that we're seeing. And I think it's so underestimated, the link between type 2 diabetes and obesity. The larger you are, you're far more likely to develop type 2 diabetes. That, if you've got a family history, you're allowing yourself to become overweight, you're becoming less and less active. If you start to add up all of these risk factors, you could almost tick all the boxes and put your fate in front of you.
Are there any ethnic variations?
Asian people are far more likely to get diabetes. So if they have a family history, you're Asian, you're overweight, again, that's three major risk factors ticked.